It's Tuned to Yesterday with broadcasts from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host Mark Levenier in the Sour Mystery. Later on, we hear The Adventures of the Falcon from 1950, but right now it's yours truly, Johnny Deller. America's favorite insurance investigator, as he was billed at the time, takes on the Mickey McQueen matter, a CBS broadcast with not much of an introduction, from April 14th, 1951.
My expenditures during my personal investigation of the Mickey murder. You may wonder how I got mixed up in it. Well, it's been my privilege to have worked a number of cases with Mickey McQueen here in Hartford, and through the years, a friendship developed between us. So when he phoned Tuesday night to say he wanted to talk to me, I was glad to ask him up. But when it got to be 1:30 in the morning and he still hadn't arrived, I wasn't so glad. He arrived at 2.
I'm sorry I'm late, Johnny.
Yeah, what held you up? I was about to drop off.
I had to think, Johnny. Ah.
You're in uniform, Mickey. What about your beat?
Yeah, my beat won't miss me. After 20 years of walking it from dark till dawn, checking its doors and passing the time of night with its people drunk and sober.
Yeah. Is it too late for a drink, Mickey? I got your brand, some Irish.
Yes, that was good of you. I've been a good policeman, Johnny. I can say that without sounding like I'm stuck on myself, can't I now?
Oh, I've never heard anybody else say anything else, Mickey.
Well, I've got more friends to my credit than I have arrests. I'll say that. But I've got a quiet beat.
I think there are quieter beats in town. Maybe you're lucky. Here's to it.
All right. But be careful what it is. There's murder being done and planned right this minute, Johnny, and them that could stop it don't have the heart, right or wrong.
What are you talking about?
I know what I'm talking about.
Are you feeling all right?
Feeling all right? I'm as healthy as I was yesterday, ain't I now?
I didn't see you yesterday.
Yet they're taking my job, putting me behind a desk. A degrading end for a man that's been active for 20 years.
After 20 years on your feet, you should take a rest. You've earned one.
The very words of the commission, Johnny. But, Johnny, I...
Yeah, Mickey?
Never mind. The devil take them all. I've used up enough of your time.
Now, wait a minute. You came over to talk about something more than your new job. What's this stuff about murder being planned and being done?
I shouldn't have said it. I wish you'd forget it.
What's the matter with you? You know me well enough to tell me. You know me well enough to know I'll keep any confidence you want me to keep.
You're a good friend, Johnny. Maybe that's why I've changed my mind about telling you.
Then why did you come over?
Because I thought I was going to talk to you, but I'm not now.
All right, it's your business. But you're acting like a kid. Now, if you don't have anything to say to me, it's after 2. I have a job in the morning.
All right, Johnny. I'm sorry I bothered you. Now, say goodnight.
I didn't sleep very well for the rest of the night. In sort of a half-doze, parts of Mickey's conversation kept coming back to me. And the more sleep I lost over it, the more I wished I'd been less grumpy and more sympathetic. There wasn't a job for me the next day, and right afternoon I decided to drop by his apartment and find out his mood when he was off duty. Mickey's apartment occupied the ground floor of a narrow gray row house not far from mine. I could hear a woman crying somewhere inside. I smelled domestic trouble, but I pushed the buzzer anyway.
Are you the...
I'm Johnny Dollar, a friend of Mr. McQueen's.
Oh, yes, yeah. Johnny Dollar. He said to phone you if I ever needed.
Is he home?
In there.
She pointed in the direction of a door smaller than the outside door, the door to either a bathroom or a closet. It was a closet. The clothes were bunched at one end of the rod, and from the other, still in uniform, his own polished leather belt drawn tightly around his neck, hung Mickey McQueen. I walked back into the lace-curtained living room. The woman who had let me in was in her middle 30s. She wore too much makeup, and her white blonde hair was anything but natural. She had stopped crying, and she acted as if she were waiting for me to start something.
Well, what about it? Do you explain yourself, or do I get 3 guesses? Never mind that look. I only live here.
Oh? I didn't know Mickey had a wife.
Oh, maybe he was ashamed of me. My name is Thelma.
Sorry, Thelma.
You're an old friend of Mickey's?
Yeah, but he never told me about you.
Had you seen him lately?
Yeah, last night. First he phoned me, then he came by to talk to me.
What did he say?
I'm not sure. He was pretty handy with double talk. Maybe I was supposed to understand it, but I didn't.
What was it about?
About his job, change he was making, and something about murders being planned and done and nobody doing anything to stop them.
Then he didn't tell you.
What?
That I was leaving him.
He's never mentioned you. Why were you leaving him?
Well, because it was all wrong. I never should have married him in the first place.
Why did you?
Because he was the kindest, most wonderful man that ever lived. Does that answer your question?
Not quite. Is there more?
Did you know his first wife?
Yeah.
Well, then I guess you know he took her death pretty hard. He'd been married 10 years. I met him after she died. He was lonely, and so was I. Well, he was pretty wonderful to me. I thought I could help him. It wasn't because of him I was leaving. It was me. But I never thought he'd do this.
I don't think he did.
What do you mean?
I think he was murdered.
Why?
When did you find him?
Oh, I came home about a half hour before you got here.
Have you phoned the police?
Not yet. I didn't know what to do.
Where'd you been?
I told you. I was leaving him. I've been living in a hotel. Does it matter?
Well, why'd you come back?
Oh, just to get some things I'd left. Why are you asking me these things?
When it's murder, there's bound to be a lot of questions.
I don't think it was. Everybody loved him. He didn't have an enemy in the world. Why would anybody want to kill a man like Mickey McQueen?
For the rest of the day, I tried to talk myself into leaving the matter in the hands of the police where it belonged, but I couldn't do it. That night, I started making the rounds of Mickey's beat. I talked to a corner magazine vendor who had sold him a mystery, a woman in a cigar store who had talked with him, and a cabbie who had borrowed $5 from him. None of them gave me anything helpful. My next stop was the Cedric Hotel, where I looked up the house detective, Ned Martin.
Ah, poor old Mickey. I'll miss him.
So will I. Did you see him last night?
Yeah, he dropped in. He always did, once or twice a night, just to shoot the breeze, you know. Why'd he do it? Did he leave a note or anything?
I think he was murdered.
What makes you say that?
Came over to see me about 2:30 this morning. There was something on his mind. He wanted to talk about it, but he wouldn't.
Yeah, that figures.
What do you mean?
Well, I noticed something about him last night. He was real low. I asked him what was the matter. He said it was because it was his last night on his beat. He was supposed to check into his new job today. But that didn't sound right to me.
Did you know he had a wife?
Yeah, I heard about it. Then I hounded him till he showed me a picture of her.
Bleached blonde?
Yeah, she looks it. I didn't want to embarrass him by asking, but I wondered about her. What makes you think it was murder, Don?
Do you think Mickey was the type to kill himself?
Well, no, but how can you tell?
I guess you can't. All you can do is try to find out. Well, if you don't have anything more, I'll be on my way.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
I guess it was a dirty trick, and I wish I hadn't done it, but I snooped that marriage. I found out who she was. Her name was Thelma Weaver. She did a couple of years at Joliet.
Where'd you get that?
Things like that don't stay hidden. I'd drop it if I were you. I really would.
What are you holding out on me?
It's for your own good, Johnny.
I'll shake it out of you if I have to.
Okay, hero. You know Fred Kuhl, the Calcutta Club over in Bartlett?
I know of him. He's a police informer, isn't he?
Yeah, part-time.
Uh-huh.
If you won't take my advice and forget it, go talk to him. And don't tell him who sent you.
What do you want?
I want to talk to you about Mickey McQueen. Do you have an office?
You a cop, too?
Only a private one. I was a friend of Mickey's.
Oh, sure. Roy!
Yes?
I'm in my office for a little while. If there's any trouble, buzz me.
Roger, Fred.
Come on, this way.
Got quite a crowd tonight, Fred.
Sure, sometimes I get a lot of out-of-town trade.
Did you see Mickey last night?
No, I didn't. I get along fine with Mickey. He won't take any payoff, but he don't push me around. How is he?
Do you know his wife?
His wife? I didn't even know he was married.
Her name was Thelma Weaver before Mickey married her. She did some time in Joliet.
Why do you bother me with this? I got work to do.
You knew Mickey was dead.
No, I didn't know that.
I don't see how it would be enough, but it struck me that if somebody knew he was married to an ex-con, they might try to use the information.
I suppose you're right. Yeah?
Right, Fred. I think you'd better come out.
Important?
Yes, I think so.
Be right out. Pardon me, Dollar. A little trouble outside. Wait here. I'll come right back.
I waited, and while I did, I took a quick look around the office for another way out in case I might need it. There wasn't any unless the steel door in one of the walls was it. But before I could try it, the other door opened. I wasn't expecting Fred Koo to return so quickly, and neither was I expecting who did come in.
I didn't expect to find you here, Mr. Dollar.
Likewise, Mrs. McQueen.
I was looking for Mr. Koo.
What for?
Well, I thought I might help if I could. Mickey kept this notebook, you see, where he wrote down all the places he stopped when he made his round. This place was one of them. I thought if I could talk to this Mr. Koo.
Did you know Fred Koo?
Oh, I know.
You know anybody named Weaver? Thelma Weaver?
All right, mister. That's enough. Reach.
Don't be crazy. What good would that do?
Say where you are. Don't try anything. I really mean it.
She looked like she really meant it. It was a small revolver, Colt 25. I didn't know whether she had come in meaning to use it on Fred Koo or me, but it didn't make much difference at the moment. She had it pointed at my midsection. I couldn't figure it. She held her little revolver as if she was used to the feel of it. But there had been something actressy about the way she said reach. I couldn't figure her, but I decided not to take a chance. I grabbed up the inkwell from the desk and threw not it, but the contents at her.
Hey, what the...
Okay, drop it. Drop it. Drop it. Now sit down.
All right. What do you want?
That depends on what you want.
I told you. I want to find out who killed Mickey.
At the apartment earlier today, you didn't think anybody had. What about it?
All right, Johnny. How much do you know?
That your name was Thelma Weaver, that you spent 2 years in Joliet.
That's right, that's right. And after 2 years in that place, I didn't want to go back to the life and start all over again. I gave the bunch in Chicago the slip and came here. Was hanging around trying to pick up enough to pay my way to Florida or someplace, and that's how I met Mickey. He arrested me. Vagrancy. What a laugh. He showed in court the next morning and got me released in his custody. Oh, he treated me like a daughter. He loaned me some money, offered to get me a job, and I really felt for the first time like I could start life all over again. Oh, I know it sounds corny, but...
But good. You make it sound real good.
You don't believe me, do you?
Sure. I believe you as far as you've gone. I even believe the part about starting a new life. You saw that Mickey had a heart as big as the city, and you didn't lose any time moving into it. That was smart. It was about the safest hiding place you could have found. For you, but not for Mickey.
How did I know about Fred Koo? Somebody spotted me and told him. And he didn't waste any time getting in touch with Chicago.
Those men out there, they all from Chicago?
Well, most of them. Did you spot the tall one? He talks with an English accent.
Yeah, I remember him. Roy?
That's him. He came first. He checked the possibilities on Mickey's beat, and then he found out about Mickey being moved over to a new job.
Where was he being moved?
Some desk job.
Where?
At the police arsenal.
The arsenal? How did Roy find that out?
I told him. I had to. He made me tell him.
What are Roy's plans, do you know?
Yeah, the Marquardt building. The one that has all the wholesale jewelers.
Nah, that's no good. Mickey was supposed to help them with a job of that size or they'd reveal that he was married to an ex-con. That's not enough. They must have more than that on you or him.
Oh, I might as well tell you. Can't hurt me now any more than I've been hurt. His name is Roy Weaver. I'm married to him. He threatened to bring bigamy charges unless Mickey helped him.
That would do it. With your record, bigamy would be a long stretch.
Yeah, 5 years. Mickey would do almost anything rather than cause me to...
Who killed him?
Roy did. I wasn't there, I swear I wasn't. But they met him after he got through work at 5:30 this morning.
Why did they kill him?
Mickey was all ready for his new job and he had the keys to the arsenal.
Here's your gun. If you're on the level, you may need it, and the caliber's too small to do me any good.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to the police.
Why not use the phone?
It'll be tapped, and it would take too long to explain it. That bunch would be in here before I got started.
I wouldn't try it if I were you.
Where are you going, Della?
I'm going home. I was waiting for Fred Kuhl, but I guess he decided not to bother.
Fred had to leave. Did Mrs. Weaver entertain you with her sordid story?
Yeah, it was very pleasant.
A charming girl. You were going home to think about it.
Well, if you don't mind, get out of my way.
Carl, Benson.
Come on.
I'm afraid I do mind. I couldn't chance having Fred interrupted at the arsenal.
Get out of my way.
Hey, where are you going? Come on. That's enough.
That's fine, Carl. Now, shall we go back to the office and wait? Bring him along, Carl. It's a pity you became involved in this dollar. I'd hoped there wouldn't have to be any more violence.
You did stop him.
Yes. Thanks for the buzz, darling.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Look what the skunk did to my dress. Did Fred get started all right?
He's well on his way. Should be back within the hour.
Hey, Mr. Weaver, what do we do with this guy?
Oh, keep him out of the way. Put him in there. And see that he stays quiet.
Sure. Hey, you. Turn around.
At least I found out what was behind the steel door I'd noticed earlier in the evening. When my eyes opened and I got accustomed to the light from a single dust-covered bulb, I realized that I was in a sort of wine cellar. There were some bottles, but most of the storage space was taken up by a large and varied assortment of burglar's tools. There were a few weapons, too, but I knew they were nothing compared to what Fred would bring back if the raid on the arsenal was successful. I glanced at my watch at 11:15, and right after that, I heard the heavy latch on the door being turned. I got back into my position on the floor, closed my eyes, and listened.
Don't forget the bars, Carl. We'll need them for the inside doors.
I got you. Hey, Benson, you take these. I'll bring the rest. You want the guns in there, Mr. Weaver?
We won't need them. Crocker.
Yeah?
Listen closely now. We're behind schedule. Both cars are in back. In the Buick, you'll find the things from the arsenal.
Yeah.
I want you to move half of them over into the Cadillac.
What about the grenades, Roy?
They're in a case marked CN-DM, irritant gas M6.
I got it.
Open the case and put half in the Buick. The most important is the cordite powder for the vaults. There are two boxes. Put one in the trunk of each car.
Right.
And be careful. It's very touchy stuff.
Yeah, no, I've handled it before.
All right, get along then, and hurry.
It won't take long.
Now, Fred will be in charge of one car. I'll be in the other.
It's all right.
We're agreed that we'll meet at the north entrance at 12:15. Both to approach the building from the east on Lincoln. You will have dropped two men to guard the south entrance. Two of my men will subdue the guard at the north.
Yeah, they better. They'll spring the alarm in a big hurry.
You can trust me. They'll use Thompson's. Thelma!
Yes, Roy?
Where are you going?
Oh, don't be so snoopy. I'm going to powder my nose.
You're coming with us.
Sure, Roy, if you want me to.
I don't need you, but I don't think I should feel safe without you with me. Don't be long.
I'll be right back.
Think everything is ready from in here, Mr. Weaver.
Good. Go to the cars then, Carl.
What about the Seamus, dear?
Oh, lock him up again. We'll decide what to do when we come back.
I guess he can't cause no harm in there.
I tried to force the door that time using one of the bars they had left behind, but I couldn't do anything with it. Then I started poking the cement walls. I knew better than to expect to find any other exit, but with the biggest burglary in the history of Hartford underway, I had to do something. I kept a check on the time, and it was 20 minutes before they were due to arrive at the Marquardt building when a sound stopped me. The steel door was being opened. I moved behind it, still holding my bar.
Dollar, it's Ned Martin in here.
Yeah, Martin. I'm here. How did you know I was here?
Some dame phoned the hotel. She told me you were here. What happened?
Why should she call you?
How should I know? I don't even know who it was. Just said she knew you came to the hotel and that you were locked up in here. I mentioned to Calcutta to you, so I came over to see what it was all about. Now, what's the matter? Don't you believe me?
I don't know what to believe. You said you were holding something out on me when I talked to you.
I was. I knew Fred Kuhl was selling the information about Mickey's wife to some guns from Chicago. I knew it could have led to trouble.
Why didn't you tell me? You said it was for my own good.
I thought it was. Mine, too. I didn't want you to know so much you'd have to tell where you learned it to prove how smart you were. I don't like this kind of stuff.
You got a car?
Yeah, but it stays right where it's parked till you tell me what's going on.
This Chicago bunch raided the police arsenal. They're armed with everything from cordite to Tommy guns. They're going into the Marcotte building in less than 20 minutes.
What's that?
Wholesale Jewelers. Would you take me out there?
I'll take you part way if you're crazy enough to want to go.
That's good enough. Let's get into the office. It's dead.
Who'd you want? The police?
Yeah.
We could stop on the way.
It'll take us 15 minutes to get to the Marcotte building. If we run into a patrol car on the way, we'll stop it. If we don't, you can drop me and then phone in. Where's your car? At the speed we traveled, we should have at least picked up a traffic cop, but we didn't. Martin wouldn't take me any closer than the corner of Atlantic and Milton. And we reached there at 12 minutes after 12. That gave me 2 minutes to get to the Marcotte building. I didn't make it before they arrived, but it didn't make any difference. Both cars had pulled up and were unloading men. From a doorway about 50 yards down, I spotted Fred Koo and Roy Weaver. Then I saw Thelma. She got out of the Buick and started toward me.
Thelma, where are you going?
Weaver shouted at her, but she didn't answer. Instead, she stopped, and I saw the little gun glitter in her hand as she turned back to them. Then I saw what she was aiming at. The trunk of the Buick, where the cordite powder was.
Thelma! Thelma! Stop it!
The car went up in a blast of powder and gasoline, and she moved back toward the other one. Weaver McQueen, as the department knows, was DOA at Emergency Hospital. None of the mob got out alive except Roy Weaver, who lived long enough to sign a confession to Mickey McQueen's murder. I want you to know that I may have lost a good friend, but you have lost a better policeman. I hope to see those early news accounts that called him a suicide corrected. Expense account total, no dollars and no cents. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Edmund O'Brien in the title role and is written by Gil Dowd with music by Wilbur Hatch. Edmund O'Brien's latest picture is the Paramount Pictures production, The Redhead and the Cowboy. Featured in tonight's cast were Bill Conrad, Martha Wentworth, Herb Butterfield, Jack Moyles, and Ray Hartman. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Dick Cutting inviting you to join us next week at this time when Edmund O'Brien returns as...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
There'll be fast-moving, true police adventure on CBS tonight when Gangbusters comes your way again on most of these same stations. This evening, Gangbusters presents The Case of the Stranger in the Hall. Stay tuned now for 5 minutes of the latest news. This is CBS, where you laugh at Jack Benny every Sunday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the surviving audio from the Mickey McQueen Matter, a CBS broadcast from April 14th, 1951. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. And now on to the adventures of the Falcon from December 10th, 1950 on NBC. At the point of this episode, the program had been on Mutual Radio for about 5 years, heard Sunday nights at 7, making the switch to NBC, whose heralded Sunday night at 7 slot was scheduled for Jack Benny, so it moved to Sundays at 4. Even so, over 9 million people tuned in for this broadcast called The Case of the Raw Deal from December 10th, 1950.
The Kraft Foods Company brings you The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking.
Oh, Eloise. Oh, I'd love to see you, but I'm afraid you'll have to deal me out tonight, Angel. Mm-hmm.
I have a job to do for some characters who got involved in a stiff poker game. Started out nice and friendly, but before they got through, they found they were playing for blood.
This is Ed Herlihy, friends, inviting you on behalf of the Kraft Foods Company to listen to The Adventures of the Falcon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novels. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now join him on the air when the Falcon solves the case of the raw deal. Before we join the Falcon in his latest adventure, I'd like to tell you folks about Kraft's golden cheese food, Velveeta. Velveeta is such good eating. Just taste that grand, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. And Velveeta is so good for you. It's rich in important food values from milk itself. For swell-tasting snacks, for good, hearty sandwiches, for thrifty, easy, hot dishes, it's smart to keep stocked with Velveeta. Get it tomorrow in the handy quarter-pound package or in the economical 2-pound loaf. The cheese food of top quality. Velveeta is made only by Kraft. And now, the case of the raw deal. It's Sunday night in New York, and in room 508 of the Room Hotel Westland, four men sit around a table on which stand a couple of beer bottles, some glasses, butt-filled ashtrays, and $65,000 in cash. Gilbert Bannister, eldest and fattest of the group, studies the five playing cards in his hand, then places them face down on the table, picks up the deck, turns to the tall, blonde young man on his left.
How many, Summers?
I'll take two, Bannister.
Two it is. Kress?
I'll play these.
Pat, huh? Looks like your luck's changing, Kress.
Maybe.
Well, how about you, Freitag?
I have to think about this pet hand of Kress's.
Yes, who is it?
Bellboy.
All right, come in. Well, Freitag, made up your mind?
Yeah. I think I'd take one card.
Right. There you are. And now you, son, you can put the beer down. What? Say, you're not a bellboy.
Well, what do you know? I guess I'm not.
Look out, he's got a gun.
That's right, Bright Eyes, sharp fella. Everybody sit tight except Fatso. You, Fatso, get up.
Maybe me?
Who else? Get up. Now walk over to the wall and face it. That's right. We do this one at a time. Now you, Blondie.
I guess that means me.
I guess it does. And now, Bright Eyes.
Okay, okay. Only be careful with that gun.
Yeah, sure, Bright Eyes, sure. No, Baldy, that leaves you. Come on, get moving.
All right. Only first I do this.
All right, hold it, fellas. Stay right where you are. Baldy made a little mistake, that's all. He's sleeping it off. Well, I better clear up this table so you fellas can have some more room. Get all this cash off it. All right, fellas, here we are. Now you can get back to your game. Only, I think this time it's going to be penny ante. So long. Who's there?
Me, Rocky Hazel.
Oh, just a second, kid. Hello, baby.
Hello, Rocky. Hey, you're packing. We going someplace?
I am.
Alone?
Look, I just made a big haul, kid. May have to keep on the move for a while. Can't carry extra weight.
I carry my own weight, Rocky. You know that.
Well, it complicates things. When I'm settled...
You know something? This has all the earmarks of a brush.
Now believe me, kid.
That'll be the day.
I'm going to send for you.
I can hardly wait. Fact is, I'm not going to wait. You're taking me with you, or it's goodbye now.
And it's goodbye.
Just like that.
That's the way you want it.
I can see you're all broken up about it.
Well, you're not shedding any tears.
I have already. I've seen this coming for a long time.
Well, maybe it's a good thing we've got it settled.
Maybe it is.
Didn't work out, that's all. No reason to get sore at each other, huh, baby?
Oh, I'm not sore at you, Rocky.
Good.
I'm sore at myself for being such a sucker, letting you kid me along.
I wasn't kidding. It's just
not
that I...
Not much you weren't.
Well, I'm not going to argue about it. It's all over now. Nothing we can do.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Rocky. I might think of something. At least it's worth a try.
Hello?
Is Michael Waring there, the Falcon?
This is the Falcon speaking.
Oh, good. My name is Gilbert Bannister. I have a job for you, sir.
What kind of job?
Well, some friends and I were robbed last night, and we want you to find the thief.
Why did you wait till this morning to call me?
Why, I don't know. We were upset. I realize it was foolish. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't have to apologize. But you may have to kick in with traveling expenses. If it was good pickings, the crook is probably on his way to Timbuktu by now. How much did he take?
$65,000.
Ha! Timbuktu, here I come.
Well, first, can you come over here to the Hotel Westland? We'd like to talk to you.
All right, Bannister, I'll be seeing you.
I can introduce you to the others, Mr. Waring. Gentlemen, here's the Falcon. This is Harry Summers and Otto Freitag.
Waring, how do you do? Hello. You told me there were four of you, Bannister.
Yes, that's right, Waring. We agreed to meet here, but Dave Kress hasn't shown up. I called his room, but he's out.
I see.
Well, gentlemen, I've given Waring a brief account of what happened, as I remember it, but he wants to check certain points with you.
Surely, Waring, anything we can do to help?
Oh, thanks, Summers.
But I'm afraid there's not much we can tell you. None of us ever saw this man before.
I know, Freitag, but you'd be surprised at the sort of things that sometimes prove useful in a case like this.
What sort of things?
Well, your head, for instance.
My head?
Yeah, Bannister told me you put up a fight and got clouded for your trouble.
Yeah. Very foolish, I realize now. But I don't see what
that
has
to... You don't have to see. Let me see. Well, you got quite a lump there. And a cut.
Yeah, he hit me with his gun.
Just what are you trying to prove, Waring?
Well, Summers, you fellows want me to find the man who swiped your dough. So far, Bannister's given me a description. But there are 10 million people in New York, if he stays in New York. I'll need more than just a description.
Well, how do you think this bump on my head will help? You think maybe he left fingerprints?
No, it just seems to me that the easiest way to find our boy is to discover which one of you he's working with.
What do you mean?
Just a minute, Waring. Are you accusing one of us?
Well, the crook knew there was a game going on in here.
Well, we're here for a convention, Waring. There are nearly always card games in the evening.
Yes, but not with $65,000 in cash on the table.
Well, that's true,
this was a big game, and the crook selected this room.
Still is preposterous to think that one of us... Well,
and
I mean...
Bannister, are you trying to tell me that you boys all have complete trust in one another?
More or less. I don't think we'd care to accuse each other of, well, thievery.
Mm-hmm. Why were you playing for cash?
Well,
He's right, Bannister. He's absolutely right. We didn't trust each other's checks. How can we trust each other's words?
That's it, Freitag.
Get out of here, Waring. Your services aren't required after all. I'm not going to have my friends insulted.
Or yourself.
Or myself. Get out.
Now, just a minute, Bannister.
Now, you keep out of this, Freitag. Well, Waring.
All right. I'm going. I see I got a little too close for comfort.
What do you mean by that?
Here, keep your hands to yourself, Bannister. Just had the suit cleaned.
I told you to lay off. Oh!
You change your mind again, you know where to find me. Now, so long, gentlemen.
Just a minute, Waring. Were you accusing me personally?
Look, you're too touchy, Bannister. I was suspicious of all of you. That's why I wanted to see Freitag's head, to see if he'd really been clouded or was just faking.
So that's why you wanted to find out if I was really hit or just pretending, hmm?
That's right. A staged fight would make a nice cover if you were in the deal. But that blow is a little too hard to be a phony.
Yeah, I'm glad you realize that.
Unless your confederate got a little overenthusiastic. That could have happened too, you know.
Ah, for a moment I was hoping you were going to clear me.
Well, chances are I'm going to be able to clear all of you, if you still want me to.
But you said one of us was...
I said one of your card party, Summers. How about the one who isn't here?
Cress?
Yes, Bannister says he's not in the hotel.
Yes, but he could have gone out to breakfast.
So he could. He could also have left town.
What are you doing now?
Finding out. Hello, desk, please. One will get you five. He's checked out.
What will we do if he has?
Look for him. Am I still working for you?
Well, I guess you are, Waring.
All right. Hello, can you tell me if David Kress has checked out yet? Mm-hmm.
Well?
They're looking it up. Hello? Yes? What's that? You sure? All right, thanks.
Well, has he?
No, Bannister, he hasn't.
Looks like we've hired us the wrong detective.
Maybe so, Summers. I could have sworn Kress had skipped. I don't know how to figure this one.
Well, maybe that's him now.
I'll go see.
Are you Gilbert Bannister?
Yes.
Sergeant Corbett, Police Department.
Police?
Corbett! Don't tell me you've been transferred to missing persons.
Oh, you would be here, Waring. No, I'm not missing persons. And if I was, I wouldn't be looking for you.
Are you looking for me?
Don't make me laugh. I came up to talk to Bannister. I understand he's a friend of Dave Kress.
That's right, Sergeant. What about Kress? Has he done something?
It's the other way around.
What's that?
Yeah, Bannister. Somebody pumped a couple of slugs in him. He's dead. Waring, why don't you toddle along? There must be some mentally underdeveloped girl who just loved to hold hands with you.
You know me, Corbett. Business before pleasure. I'll help you search Kress's room.
If I find anything important, I'll let you know.
Yes, but how will you know what is important unless I'm around to point it out? Now, come on, let's go in.
Scram?
No, you don't mean that. You couldn't do without me.
Wouldn't I love to try it sometime?
Oh, come on, open the door.
Well, remember, you don't touch anything.
I wouldn't dream of it.
It's not dreams I'm worrying about. If I catch you trying to snitch any clues...
Believe me, Corbett, you don't have a thing to worry about in that store.
I hope not.
I guarantee it. I positively guarantee you won't catch me.
Very funny. Anyway, I warned you. Any monkey business, and I throw the book at you for obstructing justice. If you think I'm going to let our friendship stop me...
That's a new name for it.
Drop dead, Waring.
Yeah, sure, later. Right now we've got... Hey, look at this.
What is it?
A card with a name and phone number typed on it.
Let's see there.
You're welcome.
Get me Plaza 93098. Yeah.
You don't believe in wasting time, do you, Corbett?
Can't hurt to check. Hello, I want to speak to Mr. Rockwell. He has, eh? When? I see. Okay, thanks. Checked out last night.
Well, that fits. He must be the guy I'm looking for.
Maybe.
Some merry-go-round. Go on a chase for Kress, he winds up dead. Then widen the chase to who he was working with, he winds up gone.
Well, if that kind of luck's going to hang on, do me a favor, will you, Waring?
Yeah, sure, what's that?
Go chase yourself, huh?
Passed since Mike discovered the probable name of the man he is hired to find. And with the name to go on, he's been checking with people who knew the fellow.
Waiter, can you...
So he winds up at the cashier's desk in a small downtown cafe.
Hello, Hazel.
Do I know you?
Well, if you don't, here's your chance. My name's Mike Waring.
Can't you see I'm busy?
All right, go ahead. Make change. I won't interfere.
What do you want?
Where can I find Rocky Rockwell?
Why ask me?
You're his girlfriend.
Don't make me laugh. Rocky doesn't have any friends, girl or otherwise.
Well, if you're not his friend, you have no reason to try to shield him.
Who says I'm trying to shield him?
You won't tell me where to find him.
I don't know. Why do you want him?
Well, if you're no friend, it shouldn't matter.
It does.
Why?
Well, if you're going to make trouble for him...
What makes you think that?
You said I was shielding him. That smells like trouble.
So you won't tell me where he is?
I told you I don't know where he is. But if I could be sure you were going to make enough trouble for him, I might try to find out.
Well, front, please. Front.
Ah, Waring. Hello there.
Oh, hello, Bannister. I'm just going up to your room.
Well, I'm glad we caught you.
Oh, Summers.
Waring.
Hello.
Well, shall we tell him what we decided?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I suppose you get to it. The suspense is boring me.
Well, Waring, it's just that the situation has changed.
Oh, has it, Summers?
Certainly. We hired you to track down an unknown thief. Now, he's no longer unknown.
His whereabouts aren't.
True, but now that he's wanted for murder, Mr. Waring, the police will spare no effort to capture him.
No comment, Freitag. Go on.
Well, retaining a private detective is rather expensive. $50 a day plus expenses, that's no small sum.
Mm-hmm. So we settle up and call it a day, all right?
Yeah, of course you understand, Waring. This in no way implies criticism. It's just
that... it's all right, Bannister. Freitag made it clear.
Just so we understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to pay for all you've done.
I see. Well, in that case, you deserve a report. You might be interested to know I've found out who Rockwell's girlfriend is.
So...
And I have a date with her tonight. I'm picking her up at her apartment at 8:15. Shall I keep it?
Well, do you think you'll be able to learn anything from her?
Well, Summers, she's taking me to meet Rockwell.
To meet Rockwell? What?
Yes, I kidded her into thinking I was on Rockwell's side. So, chums, do I keep my date or do you want to leave it to the police?
Well, Waring, we had no idea. I mean, if you're this close, keep on by all means, right, gentlemen?
Why, of course.
Naturally,
Well, thanks. I'm overwhelmed by your generosity. Now that I'm a cinch to bring home your 65 grand, you're willing to keep me on the payroll another 50 bucks worth,
I'm sorry if you think we were hasty before, Waring. It's just that we can't see throwing money away, that's all.
I see. Well, in that case, Summers, next time you play for high stakes, lock the door.
Kid, let me in.
What are you doing here?
I've changed my plans. Shut the door. I don't want anybody to see me.
It's a little late for you to come running to Mama, don't you think?
Oh, don't be like that, baby.
How do you expect me to be?
Well, I'm here. I came back.
Because you want something.
I just want you, that's all.
You sure acted like
it. Well, I was worried. I had to make a getaway. But after I left, I got to thinking about you.
I'll bet.
Well, I'm here, ain't I? The whole town looking for me. I'm risking my neck being here. What more proof do you want? Oh, baby, come
here. Now, let go. Let go.
I can't be without you, baby. I just can't. You don't want me to let go. Here's what you want. That's more like it. Look, I can't hang around here. The law's sure to come looking. I got to blow again, baby. Only this time you're going with me.
All right, Rocky.
That's my girl. Now, I got to go see somebody. There's something I've got to settle. Then I'll be back and we'll make our plans.
Yeah.
So long, sweetheart. I'll be seeing you.
Bye, Rocky.
Hello?
Mr. Waring?
Yeah?
This is Hazel Gardner. You asked me to call if I had any news for you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know where you can find Rocky.
Where?
At my apartment. He was here just a few minutes ago. He'll be coming back. What's so funny?
I tried a bluff, and it turns out to be on the level.
What do you mean?
I mean, I didn't feel like quitting right when I was expecting a break. Only this isn't the break I expected.
I still don't get it.
Well, I'll be right over to wait for Rockwell to get back, and I can explain then.
All right, I'll be waiting.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Was that on the phone, baby?
Rocky, I didn't hear you come back.
You didn't answer my question.
How long have you been here?
Never mind. Who are you talking to?
No, nobody, nobody. Nothing important. Why?
Well, because, like I said, I have something to settle. But I'm beginning to wonder if I'm going to have to go out to settle it after all.
No, Rocky, let go!
Come back here.
Rocky, please!
Who are you talking to?
Oh,
who was it?
Rocky, you're hurting me.
Baby, I'm just a gimp.
Ow!
Hello?
Is that Hazel Gardner's apartment?
Yeah, hello, Corbett.
Is that you, Waring?
Uh-huh. You want to talk to Hazel?
No, I want to talk to you.
Well, fancy that. How'd you know I was here?
Harry Summers told me you had a date with a girl.
Well, I did. It seems somebody beat me to it. She had a going over.
Huh? She's not dead?
No, but kind of the worse for wear.
Who did it?
I think it was Rockwell, but I'm not sure. She doesn't make much sense yet. That's how come I answered the phone.
We'll see if you can straighten her out and get her over here right away, will you?
Over where?
Hotel Wesleyan. I'll meet you in Summers' room. I want to want to talk to the girl and you and the three card players.
But Corbett, if they told you I was here, didn't they tell you what I was doing here?
Yeah, waiting for Rockwell.
That's right. Don't you want me to wait to see if he shows up?
He's not going to show up.
How do you know?
Because he's been murdered, too. That's why I want to see you.
Oh, hello, Waring.
Hello, Summers. Sergeant Corbett here.
Yeah, Waring, I'm here. Come in. Come in. Yeah,
sure. Come on, Hazel.
Bye.
Yeah, you better sit right down there.
Thanks.
All right, Waring. Got any bright ideas?
About what?
The case. You're supposed to be so sharp.
Why, Corbett, you're not asking for my help.
Yeah, I'm asking. This case doesn't make sense, so it ought to be right down your alley.
I love that man.
Started out nice and simple. Kress and Rockwell pull a robbery, fight over the take. Rockwell knocks off Kress and scrams. But now somebody knocks off Rockwell.
Well, that's not such a terrific switch, Corbett.
Maybe not, but how about Bannister and Freitag?
Yeah, what about them? I've been wondering why they're not here.
He's been wondering. They were supposed to have dinner with Summers tonight and didn't show up. They're not in their rooms, and no one knows that they'll be back.
Wait a minute, Corbett. Are you trying to tell me...
Yeah, Waring, Bannister and Freitag have disappeared. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Disappeared.
Miracle Whip
has a flavor so pleasing.
Miracle Whip
tastes so lively, so teasing.
Miracle Whip,
only one of its kind.
Miracle Whip,
best salad dressing you'll find.
Miracle Whip is the only one of its kind because it's a different type of salad dressing made from a secret craft recipe. Miracle Whip combines the best qualities of old-fashioned boiled dressing and fine mayonnaise, so it's truly distinctive and delicious. With a flavor millions of folks call just exactly right. Try it, won't you? One taste will tell you why it's America's favorite salad dressing. The one and only Miracle Whip.
Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon. Minutes have passed since Sergeant Corbett announced that Bannister and Freitag had disappeared. Now in Summers' hotel room, Corbett paces the floor while Mike, Summers, and Hazel watch him. Suddenly, he wheels and faces the group.
Yo, Miss Gardner.
Yes?
Summers tells me you're Rockwell's girlfriend.
That's what Waring said.
Didn't you know about Hazel, Corbett?
Stop gloating, Waring. I had routine to take care of. I'd have got around to the girl.
Oh, sure.
Miss Gardner?
Yes?
Why did Rockwell slug you?
Which time?
Huh?
He's done it before.
Oh, I mean today.
He was angry.
Naturally, but why? What did you say to him?
When?
Today.
When today? We said lots of things.
When he got angry.
Nothing.
You must have said something.
When he gets angry, he does all the talking.
I mean before he got angry.
Oh, you said...
Never mind what I said. Let's take it from the beginning. When Rockwell first came into your apartment today...
Which time?
Oh, no. Forget it. Look. About the murder.
Which murder? Rocky's or Cress's?
Rockwell's murder. Waring, stop grinning.
I'm sorry, Corbett.
What about Rocky's murder?
I don't know. Skip it. You, Summers.
Yes?
You know if... Oh, what? Waring, see who it is?
Yes, sir. Oh, hello, Bannister.
Bannister, where in blazes have you been? Where's Freitag?
Freitag? I don't know. Probably on the same kind of goose chase I've been on, if he isn't here.
What kind of goose chase?
Well, Rockwell called me.
What? When?
This afternoon. Asked me to meet him at a downtown hotel and said he'd return our money.
Why didn't you tell somebody?
I didn't dare take the chance. He insisted nobody must know. I didn't want to spoil my chance.
So you went alone?
Yes. Kept waiting till I heard on the radio that Rockwell had been murdered. Then I rushed back here.
Mr. Bannister... Do you really expect anybody in his right mind to swallow a yarn like that?
Why not, Corbett? Makes sense to me.
I said in his right mind, Waring.
Well, after all, there must be some reason why Bannister dropped out of sight. This could explain it.
So could his killing Rockwell and hiding the money explain it.
Yeah, sure. Except he didn't do that.
How do you know?
Because Summers did.
Huh? Are you sure?
Well, don't ask me. Try Summers himself. How about it, Summers?
Watch him, Corbett.
I've got him.
No, you don't.
Waring.
Yeah, my turn.
Hold it, Summers. You're not going anywhere.
Good going, Waring.
Well, thanks, Corbett. It's
suppose a flying tackle is illegal, but then so's murder.
So we made a mistake about Cress, eh, Waring?
Yes, Bannister. He wasn't the one who was working with Rockwell. It was Summers. But something made Cress suspicious of him, and he followed Summers when he went to Rockwell's for the split.
And when Summers found out Cress had discovered his secret, he killed him.
Mm-hmm. And Rockwell was suspected of the murder. But he had no part of it, and he came back to prove it. He had some scheme to get the goods on Summers, but Summers caught on and killed him.
I see. And what made you suspect Summers?
Well, remember I told you I had a date with Rockwell's girlfriend?
Yes.
Well, I didn't mention her name. Just said she was Rockwell's girl. But when Corbett was looking for me, Summers told him to try Hazel's.
Oh, he did, huh?
Uh-huh. That meant Summers knew who Rockwell's girl was, so he was connected with Rockwell.
Oh, yes, I see, Waring. But it's still hard to believe about Summers. Seems such a nice chap. Has such an honest face.
Yeah, well, that just goes to show there are some things you can't take at their face value. Good night, Bannister.
The Adventures of the Falcon on Tuned to Yesterday from December 10th, 1950 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.